Lord. Did you know? Did you know? You know, as we begin to minister here this morning, I just want to ask you, do you really know what you got? Those of you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. But not only have you accepted Him, you have activated a lifestyle that is Christ-like. And what has happened is you've been given a gift. So much bigger than you, it's bigger than your circumstances, bigger than any issues. Certainly bigger than the existential nature of gift giving that Christmas is. I'm just trying to tell you there's something on the inside of you that's alive and well. Anybody receive that this morning? There's something on the inside of you. There's something on the inside of you that is stirring. That is ready to explode. I'm just believing that. I'm speaking it. I've been decreeing that. That's why the theme is what it is for 2018. Just because I'm believing there's something on the inside of you just stirring. And it's just ready to release. And His name is Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Steve. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. My wife and I are going to sit here, and we're just going to minister to you just for a moment, and we're going to receive communion here at the end of our service today, and certainly it's Christmas Eve. It's an invaluable time. You all know we are a very family-oriented church. Wonderful. How about our children up here singing Emmanuel? Get your child involved with the children's ministry if they're not already. Phenomenal, phenomenal. Our kids are in the building in here today, but usually they're out in their own space, in their own area. And then, wow, Nyla, that dance. Mary, did you know? My goodness. You know, I want to talk about something today. Kind of a title, you know, my best gift ever. How many of y'all got a best gift? You had a best gift. Only five of y'all? Y'all ain't got no good gifts? What in the world? So, some of y'all remember your best gift? Your best gift ever? I asked some of the leadership to just send me some of their best gifts, and I want to share a couple of with you of some things that some folk wrote about their best gifts ever. This one individual said, I would definitely say my best gift ever was Christmas of 2009. I was happy to share with our parents that I was having a baby girl. We went over to my dad's home. Now, by this time, this was my second Christmas ever with him. I was 34 years old. Growing up, I'd never spoken or had any level of communication with my dad. There was a time 13 years prior, he told me to my face that he was not my father. That moment scarred me as a woman, for I truly yearned for his love as my dad. As we sat down at his table, he handed me an envelope, opened it to find a Christmas card with money, but a handwritten note to me. He apologized for not being in my life. He asked me for forgiveness and lying about my paternity when he knew the truth. He mentioned how he admired the wonderful woman I had become and how he regretted not being a part of the journey of seeing his daughter grow in life. He ended the note by asking if we could begin from that day forward with a new relationship as father and daughter. I felt like the wind was knocked out of me. I remember excusing myself from the table to retreat in the bathroom where I wept quietly. But that was truly my best gift ever. Amen. What a gift. Another individual wrote, My best gift ever was a pair of Retro 11 Air Jordans. My wife completely surprised me. I won't say who that was, Darnell. I'm sorry. I just said your name, man of God. All of your 40-plus years, your best gift is a pair of Jordans. Y'all stretch your hands forth towards Darnell. I just read y'all a life-changing story, and this man is talking about Air Jordans. No, I'm kidding. God bless you. My best gift ever was a baby alive doll. What in the world? That was a kid yelling like that. This doll was the best. It ate real food while her mouth was moving and even pooped in the diaper. What in the world? How many of y'all remember the baby alive doll? I will never forget my childhood Christmas gift. I believe I was about 10 years old. I love playing with baby dolls and Barbie dolls. Another one, the last one, is my parents bought me a brand new 1995 Jimmy truck. Before that, they gave me a beat up car to see if I would be thankful. Once they saw that I was thankful, they took me to the dealership to pick up my new truck. That man of God was 16 years old. I said, my Lord, I showing up didn't have no Christmas gifts like that. My Lord, can y'all identify with me? I'm my Jimmy truck, maybe a remote control Jimmy. But sure enough, I wasn't getting no Jimmy. I got a favorite Christmas gift. Matter of fact, my babe, you got one? I got one, but you got one? No. What's yours? You don't have a, what about our first Christmas together? Why y'all acting like that? I'm just saying. Huh? That was a good Christmas, right? Our first one in 2002? Yeah. But you don't really have one, babe? No toys and dolls and stuff like that? You wasn't into that? No? Not really, huh? Okay, well, check this out, y'all. Let me check this video out. I want to tell y'all about my best Christmas gift.
This is the Green Machine. Green Machine. 8, 9, 10 years old. Old enough for Green Machine. A racer for guys who like a ride that's really fast.
No.
Stick shift controls, swivel action rear wheels, twist, turn, and spin like wild.
Green Machine.
What a ride.
Yeah.
Green Machine with stick shift steering, some assembly required. Green Machine by
Mark. Y'all don't know nothing about the Green Machine now. Who know about the Green Machine? Stand to your feet if you know about the Green Machine in this building right now. Come on, that's the best Christmas gift ever. The best. I pulled out a 1978 commercial, y'all. That was 1978. That's the best Christmas gift I ever received in my life. Matter of fact, I loved it so much, I broke it the first day I got it. How about that? My mom says to this day, we had a big tree bush. I ran right into it. I just rammed it. I wanted to see how tough it was. Wasn't very tough, y'all. It broke right in half, but that was my best. That was certainly my best Christmas gift. You know, I looked up gift, and many of you are familiar. I just looked up the word gift, and it said something bestowed or acquired without any particular effort by the recipient or without its being earned. Something you just, how many of y'all know, when you give a gift, watch this, you don't expect nothing in return. So that's why more so than the gift given, you might want to check the motive behind the gift given. Because a gift given is just that. It's a release to bless. Amen? It's a release given to bring a blessing upon the recipient that is receiving the gift. But there's really no expectation when you give a gift. You literally feel, now we know we got that in Jesus, and I'll tap on that here in just a moment, is nothing that we earned. Come on, you all. You've not been that good all year. Okay, you had a couple of hiccups, right? in these first 300 plus days of the year. We've not been perfect, but thank God for the free gift given unto us. Amen. Let me take you to some Bible here. Romans 5, verse 15. The Bible says, but there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, say one man, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his, oh, I love this, gift of forgiveness. Ooh, how many of you all need forgiveness? Ooh, thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. To many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. You don't have to live under any condemnation. But God's free gift leads to what? It leads to our being made right with God, even though, this is good, we are guilty of many sins. Even though you're guilty of many sins, his gift has led us to being right with God. How many of you all know, even if I'm wrong with man, I'm right with God? Yeah, you might not like me very much, but I got a Savior who still, I know you holding that still against me, but God ain't holding, I said I wasn't going to preach this morning, but I'm getting excited. You might still hold that against me, even though I've offered my forgiveness. And I understand that you don't like me anymore. Maybe you've crossed me out of your Christmas list, but I've got a Savior who still loves me in spite of me. How many of you all know, even when you don't like you, God still loves you? You might not like you. Nobody might not like you nor love you, but you got a Savior who loves you in spite of you. How many of you ever looked in the mirror and said to yourself, I'm sure enough a trip? Don't look at me like that. You know you better than, the only person that know you better than you is Jesus himself. You know you, and you know you can look in the mirror at you and say, you sure enough are a trip. Some of you still trying to wonder, I do it on a daily basis. I can't believe the Lord saved me. Ooh, thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Maybe I'm only talking to two or three of you all who don't make no mistakes. Maybe all of you all are just at a 10 every single day. But the rest of you all say, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings over my life. I thank God. I'm sitting next to a gift. I didn't deserve this woman. God blessed me with this gift some 15 and a half years ago. I don't take her for granted. At least I try not to. I try my best not to. I try my best not to. Can I get them help, husbands? We try our best not to ever take her for granted, because I realize that I'm blessed, because he who finds a wife finds what? But it don't stop there. He then obtains from the Lord. Come on, you all. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man. Somebody yell, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, oh, I love that, you all.
Yes, yes.
Many will be made righteous. Yes. Go with me to Luke 1. I'll take you to verse 26 here. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by who? Yeah, by God. To a city named Galilee, city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, or we know that means engaged, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Say Mary.
Mary.
And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Rejoice. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Highly favored one. He tells Mary, the angel comes in and says, rejoice, Mary. The Lord is with you. Yeah. Blessed are you among, I need a woman to say I'm blessed.
I
need a woman to yell, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I need every woman in the building to stand up and sit down and say, I'm sure enough blessed.
I'm sure enough blessed.
But the angel said to Mary, he said, blessed are you among women, meaning you ain't the only one that's blessed. Yeah, but you've been chosen. The fact of the matter is that every single one of you women has stood up and said that you are blessed. Yeah, you are blessed indeed, but you're not the only one that's blessed. Yeah, blessed are you among women. And I find it very interesting, babe, because the angel tells Mary, obviously at a very difficult time, because what I come to realize as I read this particular pregnant passage is I realize that even though the angel told Mary to rejoice, she didn't. Isn't it amazing how God can tell you how much favor and blessing and honor is upon your life and can tell you in preparation of something to come, but yet you will not respond?
Yes. That's because of unbelief. We don't believe that he'll do it. So we want to wait until we see it to rejoice instead of believing it and rejoicing at it right then.
He told her she was favored. He said, rejoice, highly favored one. And he told her, he said, the Lord is with you. Hear
yes.
me, everybody in the building. The angel came to confirm and to reaffirm to a woman who was going through like you do and we do, just issues in life. And it's oftentimes in those stages of life, God will reaffirm to you who you are. Oh, my goodness. You best believe God will always speak to who you are when you're losing sight of who you are. Oh, that's good, everybody. That's good. When you begin to lose sight, and all of a sudden what happens is that the world that we live in tries to define you. The world that we live in tries to draw a picturesque painting of how your life should be. And then you can begin to lose sight of who you are because you're basing who you should be on who you were not created to be. You weren't created to live anybody else's life but yours. So don't get all down, blue, and in the dumps if you're not able to spend all this money at Christmas time. I've been teaching the message these last number of weeks. You shouldn't be overspending during Christmas time anyway. Because some of your kids going to be like I was, and they're going to break with you. Come on now. You're going to have a headache talking about it and spend $100 or $200 for that item. And they don't even appreciate it. I'm not throwing an umbrella out there. But you have to use wisdom. Somebody say, use wisdom. Ooh, I can go some places with that, but I'm gonna keep going. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, this is what I was telling you all, everybody, she was troubled at his saying. And consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Lean on somebody and ask him, how do you find favor with God? How do you find favor with God? How do you find that? How do you find? I didn't know I was looking. I'm trying to let somebody know right now, favor's looking for you. Right where you're sitting. I'm trying to tell you about to, okay, let me speak this. You about to walk into a season in 2018 where favor is going to hunt you down, where you're going to have stuff that you didn't even ask for, you didn't pray about it, you didn't seek it, you didn't even write it down, But God is going to send favor from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. You're about to walk into a season of overwhelming blessing, overwhelming favor, overwhelming breakthrough. You ain't even got to look for this thing. Favor has found you. Yeah, let me give you the prerequisite for favor manifesting itself in your life. This is really going to shock you and blow you away. Be available. That's all I said. All I said is be available. All I said is keep your eyes open. Don't you get lulled to sleep by the enemy. Don't you allow any type of setbacks to put you to sleep. You'll mess around and miss your blessing. Anybody receive that? You have and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name, somebody yell, Jesus.
Jesus.
Ooh, that was a good yell, my Lord. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, honey, there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now, this is so powerful, you all, because I'm not just speaking in a text of pregnancy, but I'm talking in the angel gives Mary the most life-changing message a man or a woman can receive, but yet she's still trying to put things together of how this can happen for her life. What I'm trying to tell you is that God's got this thing already worked out. You logically cannot think big enough to capture how God's going to do what he's going to do. I'm going to preach a message next Sunday as we begin January of 2017. I'm going to end it the way we began it. We began it saying Jesus did it. I'm going to end it saying the same thing. Jesus did it. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that stuff happens in your life. You can't put no explanation to it. There ain't a book written. Ain't nobody told you. You didn't deserve it. All you know is Jesus did it. Maybe, you know, people like to say, well, you just lucked up. Listen, I don't believe in luck for nothing in the world. I believe in being in destiny and being in purpose. I'm getting excited, honey. I'm getting excited. I'm okay. The word just gets me excited, honey. Anybody get excited with the word of God? I know it's Christmas Eve, and you all are ready to go home and eat already, but I get excited. She said, how can this be? She said, I don't know a man. She said, how can I get pregnant if I don't know nobody? I got a man, I got a boyfriend, but we dating clean. This is the conversation that Mary was telling the angel. So Gabriel, you telling me I'm gonna get pregnant? You said I'm gonna get pregnant. Matter of fact, not only am I gonna get pregnant, but wait, not only am I gonna get pregnant, but I'm gonna get pregnant with the Son of God. So this ain't gonna be just any ordinary pregnancy. Wait a minute. So this means, watch how big this is. This means that God knew, when Mary was a baby, that she would be the one to carry his son. So God waited to bring forth destiny until Mary got to an age of being able to receive. Your best days are yet ahead of you. I'm trying to tell you that God is waiting on you. Oftentimes God is waiting. Listen, here's what I love about Mary so much. Mary knew she didn't deserve to carry the Son of God, which is why it made her womb qualify. The moment you start thinking about everything that you deserve, that's when you're in trouble, because that's when pride and arrogance gets in the way. The fact that Mary understood that she was undeserving. She was undeserving. So she's trying to ask Mike, she's trying to ask Pastor Mike, but she said, how this going to happen if I don't know a man?
Supernatural.
Because she's basically saying, I got morals. She's telling the angel, I'm not about to sleep with this dude. This is good, you all. This is good. She said, how's this going to happen? I don't know a man. And then what happens, babe, right there? Read that, honey. And the angel, right there, verse 35.
And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you.
Wait a minute.
Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Wait. So the angel tells Mary, Mary says, how's this going to happen? Lean on somebody and say, how's this going to happen? Oh, you asked the wrong person. Ask the other one. Ask them, how's this going to happen?
How's this going
to
happen?
Okay. You say, why am I asking that? Because I'm trying to tell you that you're walking into a season where things are going to happen that'll be beyond your... It'll be beyond your conception. You won't be able to theologically figure this out. Even those of you out there with PhDs and MBAs, you won't be able to figure this thing out.
Yes.
You'll be asking questions. How's this going to happen? Matter of fact, I declare even right now that I'm going to walk into a season of how's this going to happen.
Yes.
I want to walk in a season where I don't know what God's going to do. All I know is God's going to do something.
Yes.
All I know that what God is going to do is going to be beyond my hand power. My fingerprints will not be upon this blessing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, when it's divine and supernatural, you can't explain the supernatural. All you can say is just God did it. God did it. You can't explain it. But we see here that the Holy Spirit came upon her. And it says, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. When the Holy Spirit is activated and start doing things in your life, there is no explanation for it. All you can say is God did it. You can't explain it. You don't have words to explain it. Your intellect, your mind can't even conceive it to even explain it. It's God and God alone.
Oh,
amen.
That's good.
His promises are yea and amen.
Watch this. I'm declaring just a weeping blessing that's going to come up on somebody's life. God's going to bless you so good, they're going to ask you what happened. All you can do is just cry. All you can do is just weep. You just, I don't know. That's that unexplainable blessing right there. It's like, oh, God, I don't deserve it. Because that's what happens when the Bible says the power of the Most High, watch this, when the power overshadows you, you disappear. It's no longer Mary, this is Jesus. It's no longer Eileen. We don't see you no more. The power of the Most High will do what, baby? Will the power of the Most High will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And don't you love this that the angel says to her? He says, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, oh, she's also conceived, and then he throws this on her, in her old age. Ooh, somebody say, won't he do it? Yeah, he lets Mary know specifically that Elizabeth is past the age of conceiving. Yeah. But I just dropped this miracle that's going to happen in your life. And oh, by the way, your relative, she's also in her old age, and this is now her 6th month. Okay, here it is. For her who was called barren. For of her who was called. Notice it says was. Used to be. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not who I used to be. I've graduated from who I used to be. She used to be barren. She used to. You were in a season of drought. You were. Yeah. Maybe the last portion of 2017 was a dry season. But aren't you glad that you're walking into a season of what is, not what was? Because you will no longer be called barren, but you will be called pregnant in your season of greatness. For with God, nothing. For with God, nothing will be
impossible.
But Mary doesn't let it go right there, church family. Mary says this, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be me. Oh, man. Let it be for me according to whose word? Let it be according. You want to speak to that, honey? Mary said, let it happen exactly the way that you spoke it. Exactly. She said, it just like you gave it to me, let it be. Yeah. So Mary's saying, I'm not going to add, watch this. Mary said, I'm not going to add or take away from what you said. See, sometimes God will tell us stuff and we want to add or take away from it. But Mary just said, let it be exactly like you gave it to me. I receive it.
Yes, I was getting ready to say that. Yeah. Just receive it. Let it be according to the word of the Lord and just receive it. Sometimes we don't receive well.
Yes.
Sometimes we're givers, but we don't know how to receive well.
Yes.
So Mary had, at that moment, she received what the angel was saying.
Yes.
She said, I receive it, so yes. Let it be.
Yes, that's good. That's good. And we know that particular text is so powerful that here it is that Mary and Elizabeth, they actually ran into each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like seeing each other at the grocery store, right? And all of a sudden, some of y'all remember what happened. Mary, she comes around Elizabeth, and what happens? The baby, oh my goodness, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, as soon as Mary comes around, the baby leaps. Oh my goodness. Okay, let me talk to a single man or a single woman. That 2018 is going to be the season where you come around, and when your womb leaps, that brings up on the identity of your mate. You better receive that thing. You better receive that. See, I'm not so worried about you saying how fine he is, or how fine she is. That's nice, but that'll fade. What has to happen when it comes to relationship is you all's womb. Okay, if you're carrying the same Jesus, your womb will leak. Amen, somebody. I'm getting a good witness by a child in this place right now. My God. Liz, is that your baby back there? Bring him up here so he can preach with me, man. He is excited. I got him excited this morning. My Lord. Let's round home here, you all. Matthew 2. Let me go to verse 6. Matthew 2, verse 6. It says, but you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring him back, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, verse 11, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're talking about these gifts. Gold, kingship on the earth. Gold, that's what gold speaks of. Kingship. So these wise men, they present Jesus, they present Mary, they present these gifts, gold, frankincense, a symbol of deity, a symbol of deity, and myrrh, preparation for his death. So they bring gold, kingship on the earth, naming him this baby boy to be king, frankincense, this symbol of deity. He is God. For him, there is no other. Myrrh, preparation for his death. I find that to be nothing less than amazing in the fact that here it is at the birth of the baby, they're preparing the baby for death. At the birth. Real quickly, you all probably noticed here earlier in the scripture, I just wrote something down that struck me, and I wrote down the star that stopped. The star that stopped. Why is this significant? Because in verse 9 it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them. Till it came, watch this, it's the star, till it came and stood over where the young child was. The star stopped. For those of you that are skilled in geology and you all know astronomy and the stars and all this other stuff, you understand that stars move at all times because of the rotation of the earth. But for this moment, somebody say this moment.
This moment.
For this moment, this star stopped. Ooh-wee. And so in essence, watch this, church. God is not bound by the law he created. God can do anything he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. You're so important that if God needs to stop a star, God is no respecter of persons. So you say, God wouldn't do that for me. Why not? God wants to bless you more than you want to bless yourself. God wants you to have a better year than what you desire to have in 2018. I always say, don't discount the fact that we still got 7 or 8 days left in 2017. Somebody say, leave room for God to yet do a miracle. How many of you all believe God can do a miracle in the next 7 days? Okay, let me only talk to the folk who need God to do a miracle in the next 7 days. Lean on somebody and say, won't he do it? You know, we talk about gifts. The greatest gift that I ever received, yeah, probably, I guess, gift-wise as a kid, the greatest gift that I ever received was that green machine that I showed you the picture of a bit earlier. Then I can go into a multiplicity of gifts. Certainly, my wife is really outside of Jesus. She's the greatest gift that the Lord has ever given to me. But really, the greatest gift the Lord ever gave to me was salvation. Period. Period, point blank. And it's the only God that some 18 years ago today, you all can stand to your feet. Some 18 years ago today, when I really think about it, it was some 18 years ago, December of 1999, that young man walked into a church, actually a church that my wife was, certainly who was not my wife at the time, but she was already at that church. I didn't walk into church looking for a wife. I walked in that church because I was broken. I knew about God. I'd been raised in church, new church, but I didn't know Jesus. Hear me. You can know church, but not know Jesus. This Christmas season, this is all about Jesus, you all. Yeah, many of you will be giving gifts to family and loved ones, but as they say, don't forget the reason for the season now. You know, it's argued on whether or not the December 25th is actually the birth of Christ and all of that. I get all of that. The bottom line is that is the day that we have chosen to celebrate the birth of Christ. But it was on that day in December of 1999 that when the altar call came, pastor spoke about that altar call, that I got up out my seat and I walked down that aisle, and it felt like I had 2,000 ton bricks on my feet. But I made my way down to that aisle and I gave my life fully for Jesus. That is the greatest gift that I have ever received in my life. Lift your hands all over the building. I want to give that opportunity. If you're here this morning, just close your eyes just for a moment. I don't want you all just looking around. But if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I want to give my life here on this Christmas Eve morning. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to fully and totally commit to living a life of integrity before Jesus Christ. And I want to wait another moment. I just want to step out from where I am. I want to commit my life and or recommit. Some of you might be recommitting your life today. I'm saying I want to commit or recommit my life to the Lord today. I want the Lord to receive me just as I am. As I am in preparation to carry destiny, purpose in these days ahead. If I'm speaking to you, come down to the aisle right there. Come, just step out from where you are. I'm speaking to you. Keep your eyes closed. I don't want anybody looking around. If I'm speaking to you, don't be backward. Just step out from right where you are and say, Pastor, you're really just speaking to me. He said, I want to give my life, or I want to recommit. I want to repent of some things that have happened in my life. I want to finish this year. I've allowed some stuff to get in the way. And I want it to get in the way no longer. Right where I am, I want to give my life to Jesus. But right where you are, just lift your hands all over the building. I just want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, Father God, here I am today. Cleanse me. Wash me whiter than snow. Every area of my life that is impure, that is unclean before you, I repent and I lay it before your feet. Receive me, Jesus, just as I am. And I thank you in advance for the salvation given unto me according to Romans 10 and 9. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, those of you who give communion, that was also preparation to receive communion. Team, you can go forward. I want you to be still over these next moments as we prepare to receive of communion. As this is passed out, that prayer that we prayed here prior was preparation to now. We got kids in the building here. Every parent, you hold the responsibility with your child to make sure that they understand that they are receiving what they are receiving. The Bible says you don't want to bring any level of damnation on your life, adult or child, by receiving of this communion. If there's anything, let there be no heart, let there be nothing against anyone in your heart whatsoever before you receive of this communion, this preparation of the Lord's Supper. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take up the bread. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's drink. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Power, power, wonder-working power. Listen, from our family to yours, we are wishing you the most amazing Christmas you could ever have. May you be safe and sound and all of those good things. Myron, come here real quick. Come here quickly. Come on, quick. Just come down the aisle. Yeah, run down here real quick. You get the award again, man. You get the award. You get the Christmas award. You get the Christmas award. Look at this man of God. That's how he doing, huh? Get on out of here, man. Get on up here. You posing and all of that. He had a championship ring on. He's just kind of showing that off as well. I just had to mess with him. I saw him this morning. I said, my goodness, you are in the spirit, are you not? You are in the spirit this morning. I got my big son here. My big son's here from New York City. Just raise your hand, man. I got my big son. Just family and such. That's what it's about, you all, church family. Amen. It's simply about family and friends and fellowship. God is good, church. It's good. Have an amazing, amazing Christmas. Be in preparation for our New Year's Eve service next Sunday morning and then again Sunday night. Get all of those pamphlets. Get all that stuff out, you all. Bring 4 or 5 people really that Sunday night. Lift your hands all over the building. I'm going to make my way out as quickly as I can along with my wife right out there. We want to greet you and just wish you a Merry Christmas on your way out this morning. Keep your eyes open. You know what? I didn't even talk to the first time attenders today. God bless you. I pray you enjoyed yourself today. Make sure you get your gift on the way out. See the information table. I want to put something in your hands. Just thank you for coming out and fellowshipping with us today. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. That is God intended. That's the key. That's God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season in your life. You all know where I'm going. Somebody say, it's my best season. We bless your jobs, your homes, your families, especially within this Christmas season. We bless all that God has purposed in your heart. We tell you each and every week, God has only given, he's given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live it the very best that we can. Be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that we do what?